day when I can share the studio with Jim D'Lo. You know, he's always on the go. He's always on the move. And he gets to sit here co-host with me with Calumet Township Trustee, Ms. Kim Robinson. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here as well with Jim.
Can
I've
I just
been waiting my whole life to be to WJOB, right? I hear you guys on the Hot Topics on election night. I've never been invited. I'm open, though, so I just want you to know
what?
That.
There's not a lot of invitations that go out. It's just kind of people like, just say, pull up. Yeah, I'm going to bring you up a little bit. Is that
okay,
right?
Okay, yes.
There you go. Hey, well, thanks for coming in. It's the DeJuan Marrero podcast, so we're all guests on this game.
Okay.
I appreciate you guys. Since Banneker.
Right.
Sarah H. Givens, before they closed it.
Since he was a little tall boy, now he's a big tall guy.
So I was so nervous asking her, like, to come on, and because I haven't talked to her in that hat about just what she does day to day. Was more because of my relationship with her son, who's my best friend, and now we're here, so I get to finally know at 30 years old what she does.
What did you do back then?
I was still working probably between Gary City Court and Lake County Treasurer John Patalis with Lake County Treasurer.
You worked in the office?
Yes, so I was still, and then I became the council person while I was there, so they were around helping me campaign on those days.
So you've been involved in the game for a long time.
My son is 25, so it's been about 23 years. He was 2 when I was first elected to the Calumet Township Advisory Board.
And who was the trustee then?
Dozier Allen.
Dozier Allen, man.
Right?
You had a nice place. Gosh, you know, I used to interview Dozier Allen in the mid-80s when I worked here the first time around.
Okay.
And then... did he have a place right there at the end of, not Ripley, but one of those, he was in Miller there. He had
right.
a real nice place
oh,
right
yes.
on the beach.
Oh, yes.
I came right out there a few times. And
He's still there.
Is he still there?
He's still there.
It's a beautiful place, and he's such a cordial host. And that's odd. I didn't. So you were obviously, were you on Rudy's side or were you against Rudy?
I was not ever against anyone. I'm just serving the public. So
well,
that's my role. No, I am. I was always supported heavily by Mr. Allen. And so not like I didn't have a choice. But, you know, once I came around and actually won, Rudy did give me the greatest compliment. He was like, you know, she did it the right way. She earned it. Because he, Elsie, a lot of people have been against me for what reason, I don't know. So
yeah, it was just kind of weird because, God, I've been covering Gary politics since the 80s off and on, probably less in the last few years. But if you were going up against Rudy in any respect for about 10 or 15 years there, it was a tough road to hoe.
It was.
Same thing with Dozier.
Right.
But he sounds like, you know, you guys worked together.
And then
together.
Before that, Hatcher and all of that, yes.
Yeah, everybody looks at we just did Craig Buzia, a well-known football coach. And everybody looks up to him. And all I remember is when I was playing football, and the guy was a maniac, just completely out of and then honestly Richard Hatcher, my dad's company, was there, the old River Queen property on 12 in Miller. So I was always there, and Richard Hatcher would come over and everybody knew him and he was part of the game. And I remember my uncle saying once, he's like, you know, he's such a nice guy, but you would not want to cross him. Anyways, isn't where we're going.
You got to have Reagan on for that part.
Yes, I saw her the other day at Buttigieg was in town.
Well, catch us up. What was it like at the airport? Because everyone canceled on me last week, and I was inviting everybody to the cookout.
Right. It was awesome. It was well attended, nice event, nice money coming in. So it was a good day.
What was at the airport?
It was a press conference. What I got out of it, has happened between Buttigieg and Congressman Mervan able to get money into the region.
Yeah,
and
it was
the Gary Airport.
I wrote the news story that he was taking a victory lap on the infrastructure bill, which you know, honestly, they can right now. I mean, all the unions were there. They had some iron worker apprentices, and they were showcasing a lot of the things that are getting built
around. The equipment,
yeah.
right.
And Kim was there, and she apologized to me for canceling on you. And I go, don't apologize for me. I just canceled on him to come see Buttigieg. Hey, you know, so Calumet Township trustee, how long?
This is my third term I'm going into now. I started this year.
What's the challenges over there?
Poverty. Well, not so bad. We've been able to really work through most of it. We have our caseload has gone down because we really press for people to, you know, do for yourself. This is really only emergency to tie you over until you get something else. So we've been helping, like, with jobs and just the connections that we have with wraparound services. You know, we do really help. It's not like more of a lifestyle now. It's just a hand up, like I thought.
You know, I think, Dewan, to go back to the beginning of that, like, you know, we Frank Mervan when he had North Township and Kim over there at Calumet Township, and Dozier, I think, has started as a trustee, right? Yeah. And their one of their main jobs is, it used to be called poor relief, but I think,
it's still poor relief.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the you know, they got to come up with plans and how to get people not just dependent on it. Right. Always there, and they try to, you know, basically.
We're just an emergency, like when people are laid off, something unforeseen happens, and you're not able to make rent, utility bills, buy food. We're there to kind of fill the gap until you either go back to work, find new employment, or something to that effect.
Do you remember the issue with Dozier and the state wouldn't pay?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I must have wrote 100 stories on that thing.
So, I remember when the state took over.
Yes, the state took over Calumet Township for a while. I mean, obviously it's not now, right?
No.
So, but what happened was there was a huge demand for poor relief during the, say, early 80s when it wasn't as much of a national recession as it was a steel recession.
Right.
And they were just contracting and they were laying off thousands at a time. And they had, you know, people had to go and look to get food. We didn't have the Northwest Indiana food bank that you could go there and get a couple bags of groceries. It was just like nothing. So Dozier said, hey, listen, I can't not feed people.
Right.
And he's like giving out vouchers and stuff. And I remember that it had built up to like $16 million.
Right.
And then the state just said, oh, we're not going to pay the bill. And it really was a real hardship on a lot of businesses.
Right.
And I gained a lot of respect for Dozier at the time.
Right.
And realized exactly how hard your guys' job is.
Right, right. Because most people don't understand what township government is unless they need it, right? So they're like, you're a trustee, so some places in Illinois, that's like a mayor or a town. And I'm like, no, I'm not that trustee. We do poor relief. We help the indigent community. And unfortunately, it's kind of concentrated, you know, in Gary, because my area of service is Gary and Cow Township. Griffith left us. So
how do you feel about that?
I'm fine. I wish them well, you know, but I just didn't want that under my tenure to be fighting with them the whole time. So, well, see what they're doing over there now. So
what I think Kim's talking about is that Griffith was in Calumet Township along with, or actually was with Calumet Township and Gary, and then they wanted to go with North Township where they are now.
No, they wanted to just get away, period.
In general.
They were, able to go to North because it was the contiguous. St. John did not want them, and North was, you know, there. Unfortunately,
I wrote 100 stories about
that,
poor relief in the 80s. I probably wrote 40 or 50 on this kind of public.
They weren't happy with the way the money was divided. And it really wasn't all township. They were saying it was Civil City Gary, it was School City Gary. So it was a lot ways divided, but they blamed it on us.
Here you and I are, like, just reminiscing, and he
has
all these questions he has.
He's like, still, did she answer my question yet?
So the Calumet trustee helps our community, give them loans, and they got
to. No, not loans at all. No, it's not loans. It's what we do is it's a whole bunch of paperwork, as most government agencies are, and we will pay your rent if your landlord says, okay, I'll take township.
Right.
We'll pay your utilities, which is our largest expenditure, NIPSCO.
Right.
We will give you a voucher, go to a local grocery store. Like now, we just got through giving uniforms away for community schools.
So a lot of people, I'm assuming, tries to finesse at times. If you are trying to cover their expenses, because that's the quick fix of, well, let's just do this paperwork.
And what it really was designed for back in the day when it was designed, it was more so for an emergency because, you know, there's always been, like, child welfare, TANF, all of that. But then township came in just as that squeeze in the middle. Like, sometimes you may not qualify for the other subsidies, but township, you know, we still have a guideline. That's why I gave you that pamphlet. So we still have guidelines in there.
Oh, big time guidelines. So, what about you? Which Roosevelt or West Side?
Roosevelt. Oh, my God.
What do you like?
1986, Gary Roosevelt.
What year is the president of the Urban League? What year was she there?
She wasn't Roosevelt. I don't think she was Roosevelt.
I'm pretty sure.
I think she...
Because, you know, you look back on...
Rivals.
Rivals, but, you know, you grew up where then? What part of Gary?
That's in Midtown. That's why I went to Roosevelt, because I had gone to St. Monica Holy Angels, and I had taken the test for Bishop Knoll, but Renato Thomas was there, and they had just went downstate. So my mother let us pick our high school. I was like, oh, I'm going to Roosevelt. They're going to go again. I was a freshman he was gone, but still, I just loved all of that. So I was like, please, Mom. So I went to Roosevelt.
What was it called at Houston when he played
there? Phi Slamma Jamma.
Phi Slamma Jamma, yep. That's right,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Now, Elijah Wan and Clyde. His name
Drexler. So you went to Roosevelt, and mm-hmm. then what?
Then I went off to Purdue West Lafayette. Then I came home, finished here at Purdue Cal when it was Purdue Cal. Then I just, you know, tried to find my way working and stumbled. Well, I didn't stumble, but I was placed into the election when one of their board members had. So I had 18 months and I did not win again, but I did not give up.
How old were you then?
I would say I was like going into my 30s.
So you were from the very beginning. You held you got a caucus in.
Right.
So what position was that?
Township Advisory Board. Township. It was advisory back then. Yes.
Yeah, advisory.
I was with Joel Harris and Roosevelt Allen. Yep. So then I ran for at-large council, and Reagan and I were like neck and neck all night, and she pulled out. And then Jerome, Mayor Prince, went to the county council, and then I fulfilled his space, which they had gotten sworn in that January for 4 years, and I came right in February when he moved up and over. So it's two terms there, then in the middle of the second term, I decided to take on the township role.
The trustee role.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're well versed in what's going on in Gary, and I don't mean from a political standpoint, mm-hmm. but Eddie's coming in,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what's the energy like in Gary right now?
I believe most people are excited. That's why we were able to get him in successfully, because, you know, he brings energy, some youthful energy to the table. You know, even though he's been elected before, it's just still the unknowing of, you know, and just the work that he's already put in. So we're excited. I know the young people are, because they really came out.
They really did come out.
They did.
I think that's kind of what pushed.
And that was interesting and good, because it's really their turn, you know. I don't want to do this forever. So, you know, I talked to my sons, like, you know, what do you guys want to do next? But, you know, it's hard, because most of my friends are like, why are you still there? Why are you still, like, well, somebody's got to turn the lights out. So I'll do that. But
Dewan's bringing in, he's got a whole bunch of questions there. And you and I are talking about, like, you know, the general feeling in the old days. So I'm going to shut up for a minute. I'm going to go get my own coffee, actually. Well,
this is great. A lot of information. Again, being in the sports community, we don't talk about this day to day. So I was happy to have some light where I could share it amongst my guys who I talk to about basketball, about mm-hmm. knowing what's going on in the community. And I think it's all business in general. They either love you or hate you.
Right? Yeah. You're an open book at that point.
Yeah.
And I always like to just consider myself a public servant and not so much a politician.
Right.
Because that always has like such a negative connotation to it. So when people like, I know I'm elected, I'll take that any day, elected official. But, you know, you're just like any other politician.
Right.
And we all get a bad rap for the few bad apples.
It was the same when I was trying to get you on here and I didn't know if you were a politician or like what was your title. That's why I just texted that, because it's the same notion of being a basketball agent. Right.
Right.
In the same judgment of like you just want me because of my talents and use me to get a commission. So I'm happy that you're here. Did you foresee like how the election was going to play out just with the community's energy? Because like you said, a lot of – you know, my generation, we like Eddie, and I like Mayor Prince. Great.
Right.
Both of them were great to me.
Right.
But outside looking in, I could see how Eddie kind of got the community.
Yeah.
Obviously being more modern.
Yeah. And that's fine. I'm happy about it because we haven't seen like a surge of young people interested since President Barack Obama.
Correct.
And you got it. You know, voting is most important.
Right.
You know, people don't understand it until they do. Because I'm one of those people, I was so excited twice when I got my license at 16 and when I was able to go into the poll on my own and vote. So I try to push that amongst, you know, all, you know, ages. We've done our part, and those before me, you know, have done a great job. But now you got to carry the torch and keep it going.
Chris was
stay engaged.
Chris Robinson, he's one of my good friends. And actually my best friend, and he would always text me when I'm on the road, like, did you vote, right? And just like any other young guy, I'm like, why the hell does he keep texting me about am I voting? It's like, it's not like my vote's going to make a change, right?
No, that's don't
the
say
first,
that.
That's the first thing that we think when we receive that text, because it's kind of annoying. So what would be your solution to that if I was to text one of my teammates about, hey, did you vote, and why should they vote?
Why should you vote? Because the things that you see going around in your community that you're not – in favor of, right? It's all about who you voted for or if you even voted. Never say that one vote doesn't matter, because every vote matters. Why would we talk about making our numbers, you know, when we don't, making our numbers count or counting our numbers when we don't make them count,
right?
So I don't buy that ever with people. That angers me when I ask a person to the same thing. I'm texting, hey, mass text, today's election day, need a ride to the polls, all of that. People are, oh, it won't matter. It'll be the same old people. No, it won't.
Right.
No, you know, get engaged. Do what you're supposed to do. That's your civic duty.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, it's... you've been doing it a little while, so you can actually make these kind of judgments, kind of like our other guest, Bazia's been doing it a little while. What concerns you the most?
What concerns me the most is when your constituency doesn't quite understand. Like, I watched last term as our city council, we had two of the brightest, brilliant, Ty Atkins, Councilwoman Ty Atkins, and Councilman William Godwin. And it wasn't like they were arguing all the time, but that's what it felt like, because when people don't understand or you don't agree all the time, then they just thought it was always a fight. And it wasn't. They were telling you how this really goes. But it's so unfortunate that people are just that simple. The five senses, I can see it, I can touch it, I can feel, you know, anything beyond that, you're trying to say, a city works off of, the budget comes from the taxes that we pay. If we don't have anybody paying taxes, we don't have any money to work with, right? 75% of our budget was public safety. So if you don't understand that, it's not as simple as, hey, mayor, will you put some hot patch on my street? Will you come get my street when the snow comes down? It's not that simple. But they don't get it, because it's always, you know, people are like, well, that's how we've always done it. That isn't right.
What's the future for Gary?
I hope it's great. You know, it's my part. You know, I'm going to try to keep my city together and alive as best I can. I'm going to help whoever, you know, is at the helm. I don't want to be mayor. You know, I just want to sit and help. I've been as close when I was with my good friend Mayor Karen, and it was a lot over on the township side. I'm good because this is my favorite job, just helping. I can sit at my desk all day and just, like, go through the calls, the requests, you know, can you help this person? This person needs this service. This person needs this. Who should they call? I could do that all day. So
I think we both have that same passion, too, Jim, as you can see, like, when I'm talking to the callers that call up here, or we may not know each other and they have an opinion about Gary. I'm the first to defend about being a product of my environment.
Cannot talk about Gary to me.
And
it's negative.
Had outstanding mentors to put me in the position I am in today.
And I just like when people, like, they move away. You know, like, I'll say my dad, you know, he lives in Maryville, and he's like, oh, I got to get home. Boy, he's not listening. He's like, oh, I've got to get home. I got to get back to Maryville. And I'm like, so don't come in here telling me about what Gary should do. When you left, you took your card with you. So, I mean, I took your card, and you go and tell Maryville what they should do. You know, so that kind of stuff. And again,
it does. That is a regular phenomenon in that a lot of people want to tell Gary what Gary should do.
Right.
That's been going on for a lot of years since Hatcher came in, man. And but I guess what I'm asking is, like, I've always felt that at some point Gary is going to have the kind of renaissance that a lot of people have hoped for. And I remember sitting right here with your friend Karen talking about the Gary renaissance. And she, you know, she always felt that it was near. Obviously, it wasn't there. And I just get the feeling that at one point, A, it'll be a good business investment to be in Gary. But also, just something's going to happen, and I'm not really sure what it would be that kind of turns around some of the morale and some of the business development.
Well, it's turning around now as we speak. I don't know. Some people say it's negative or positive, but we have had so much interest in properties.
Yes, I know that.
Like, some of us don't know our value, you know what I'm saying? So there are other people who do. So you have them, they're coming in, they're buying up blocks, redoing them. So that's one problem solved, because housing is bad. You don't have enough housing, rather. And then you have people who want to work together and, you know, maybe finally get our marina, you know, something like that. Just Lake Street is blowing up in Miller. So that's
Sound
a start.
That's a start. I wish someone would have called me when they redesigned that down to one lane to get in and out of there. I'm like, wait a second. Why is it taking me 20 minutes to get out of Wells Street Beach over there?
But it's a lot of construction. There's a double track coming, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
Once that's done.
It's just a kind of a weird.
Very.
As a matter of fact, that was right where Diedlo Inc. was, just a little bit to the east. In one of the massive several acres of, it was called the River Queen property.
So you remember Screaming Wheels?
Oh, yeah.
Diedlo Inc.? Let's rewind real quick.
That was a construction company that closed down in 80.
It was a Zare out there.
And then that grocery store.
Ralph's.
Ralph's was the big one there.
But
they are putting the double track down there in Gary, and that really should change a lot. And the upgrading a lot of the overpasses. Right. I saw they had to close US 12 for a little while there. You know, my wife works in downtown Gary. I go down and see Marion once in a while, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Natalie.
Okay.
By the way, there is no more raucous discussion in America than when Natalie gets on there and starts going at it with people.
I do Township Tuesdays every second Tuesday of the month, so I'll be there next week.
You witness Natalie?
Yes. She's like a freedom fighter for real. She's always on it. She's always calling. Hey, Kim, hey, Kim. I need this. I need that. Hey, Kim, hey, Kim. I got this emergency. And I answer every time. So, you know, I'm glad to be able to help.
And we're talking about WLTH and Marion.
Williams.
Williams. And then he's got the guy from Morton over here that married his
daughter.
Married his daughter. Mm-hmm. And I'm drawing a blank right now. But they've got a lot of energy over there with the radio and their media downtown. And I just think that that area in and of itself is just probably the part that I think is most undervalued.
Yeah, but if we find out what we can possibly do with the Genesis Center, if that, you know, somehow, I don't know if it's a start over, if it can be renovated, I'm not sure. I'm not in construction, but if we find, you know, we just need one anchor, right? One anchor there, one anchor in the village. I think it's practical if you take one area at a time. So you've already done the first district. You're about to get a big project in the second district. You have some things in the third district and the fourth district going. Fifth and sixth, fifth and sixth, the university is there. So, you know, it just takes some, you know, development.
So
really,
what about you? What's the long-term goal here? Really? What do you want to get done?
Want to end it at trustee. For me, I don't want to do anything
else. I'm pretty sure I don't believe that.
I do not. I do not want to do anything else. I just want to do this because, you know, this is what I feel is my real calling, true calling, the help of it. And I'll help anybody, you know. I just got elected as the Democratic chair in our city. So that's going to make me. Thank you. It's a lot
and
of work.
That just makes me think that no. She can't get enough of it. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know that. I mean, not just your job. By all accounts, mm-hmm. you know, I'm the media guy. I'll say you do a great job as a trustee.
Thank you.
But just knowing you from the side, I feel like you really like getting in there and mixing
it
up a little bit.
I like seeing it happen. But you know how you always say, I never say never. I can always say what I intend not to do. But as opportunities come, who knows?
So what is it that, and, you know, where did that come from where you want to serve and you want to help people?
Just all my life. I don't know. My mother says my father. My father says my mother, you know, because they both are like, I was never interested. My mother was more behind the scenes. But my dad worked at the Bud plant and Gary went when it was in Philadelphia, came back. And, you know, it's not, they were never elected or anything like that. So they just were community people, though, so. My dad played basketball at Roosevelt 1965 when he made some kind of shot against Frable that won the game, and I think they went down but did not win. My Uncle Melvin, I think, did go down with the 68 team that won downstate.
That beat Lonnie Randolph.
I think so, yeah.
Lonnie Randolph thinks that his 68, was it Roosevelt or Washington team, was better than all these other basketball teams that ever came through here. Mm-hmm. Don't ever, you know, that's someone we got to get in just so that I could rib Lonnie Randolph, because I think it was Gary Roosevelt that beat him. And then
was Ron Heflin his coach?
Mm-mm, no. That was way after.
Yeah, that was way.
That was way before. I'm sorry. That was way. He probably, he wasn't in college. But, yeah, that was way. They had, like, maybe Bo Mallard, who's the stadium is named after one of some of those people.
Bo Mallard Gymnasium.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I think we're up.
We're up on time. No.
You bring a guest in, and then
I told you I was going to spearhead this because I was just out of the loop with, you know, what Kim did, because our relationship is more surface level. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Robinson, he's now tuned in. Again, he's one of my best friends. And
tell us about him.
Chris?
Yeah. What does he do in Illinois? Because him and I have lunch, mm-hmm. and we talk amongst other things, but if we could put some light on Chris and what he does, that would be great.
He went into community engagement with Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and of course, you know, that was not a successful race for her. So now he's with Secretary of State, Alexei Janulius, and he's still again in community engagement, and he is with the faith base.
Got it.
So he's working with all of the pastors in Chicago. Their latest project was the Skip the Line.
Okay.
So no more of, you know, you can do everything. But I think their challenge is just trying to make sure everyone, because we have our daily, weekly calls on, what should I do about this? You know, I felt like somehow I had kind of ruined him in making him go along with me everywhere and throughout my processes, because I did not want to miss his life. And I did not want him to ever say I missed his life because I was somewhere, you know, campaigning. So he was right there. We go to his game. We do what I had to do.
How happy were you, or were you excited and happy when he moved back, obviously, to the Chicagoland area from Atlanta?
He went to Morehouse College, graduated, and stayed in Atlanta a little longer. I love for kids to get experiences, so I was all about that. And opportunities, you know, I don't want him again to ever say I stopped him from doing something he wanted to do. So I think he had had enough of Atlanta. He's great. Always loved Chicago. He's always been on the train back and forth. A lot of friends from Knoll. And so I'm happy for him. If he's happy and, you know, able to make it, I'm happy
for
him.
We appreciate all you do, Chris.
Yeah,
last question I have for you, and I'm going to have Jimmy wrap it up, is when you're in the meetings – and they're not, majority of the meetings not from our community, and they say, you're from Gary, and they hit you with a face that kind of rubs you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. What is your response back?
Well, I might. It just depends on how I'm really feeling at that moment, because I might be like, what does that mean?
Correct.
I know down at Purdue, every time you said you're from Gary, what was my first question? Do you know Michael Jackson? No, I do not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but when I was in the 5th District Council, Michael Jackson's house was in my district, so I was happy to represent that. But I would just say, you know, as anything, don't knock it until you try it. You know, I did run. Chris and I were at a football camp. No, it's a true story. He was up. I took him up to Northwestern. They had a little day camp. And I heard these other two ladies talking about traffic and how it's so congested. And it was like 2 in the morning, and I didn't want to come through Gary. And, you know, we had to get off and this and that. And it was just, you know, again, I did that look. But I pulled out my card. I said, I'm a council person in Gary. Whenever you guys come through Gary, call me if you have any problems. Call me if you need to get around. I'd be more than happy. And they were both like, oh, wow. You know, so I'm just saying, don't, you know, it's not negative. I've lived in Gary my whole life. Same. I think I'm pretty good.
I've been pretty successful, and right. Jim could attest to that, right. Being a Gary product. So that's one of my favorite questions I love to ask Jim, when someone's from Gary, because we get that interpretation of, like, what's it like living there? Like, I'm like, well, you're here in this meeting with me.
And it's people who have left, and they're so, oh, scary Gary. I'm like, what?
Right.
I've never been scared of my own hometown. I'm scared of your city where you are, right? There's such a comfort zone that, you know, I don't have to worry.
That's fair.
I agree with that. I mean, I'm the same. I've been in and out of Gary my entire life. As a matter of fact, I always took my daughter when I worked for the Times. I had all the Gary schools for basketball. And, you know, I would take her to you'd have to sit after and write the story, and the women in the serving the popcorn would always start watch, you know, they'd watch her and everything. And I don't necessarily have a lack of safety feel about Gary.
Right.
I do have a feel of just a lack of not being able to attract the kind of business that I think that should be going there. And it just for flat out because of its location.
Yep.
And I think that image plays into it.
Right.
I mean,
because we're all, just imagine how we're surrounded. Like today, when I leave here, I'm like, I'm just going to hit Nordstrom Rack while I'm over this way, you know? And I'm like, what would it be? Like, I was so happy when we had a Marshall's in our village. And the village is so under, you know? I'm like, can we get a Starbucks? Just one thing besides a truck stop.
You got a popcorn shop.
Yeah.
I appreciate the truck stops for, you know, when I need gas. But I'm just saying, there's got to be. So, again, the casino as well. I'm so happy, excited
You're going to get a hotel. I think you're going to get a convention center.
I believe.
And I think that is, to me, that's a starter of about probably 10,000 seats.
All we need is like one match, right?
Exactly.
That's what I think.
Well, again, thank you, Calumet Trustee, Ms. Kim Robinson, and my co-host, Jim D'Lo. Hey, Brown Skin Coffee, I went in there, and I was pretty bold, and I had my guy, Mitrell Harbin, with me, who's about 6'10". He's towering over me. So I'm like 6'5". So I go in there. I ask for the owner. The kids are helping, and I guess her business partners. And they were like, I said, hey, who's the owner here? I want to get them on WJOB. I'm Duan Marrero. I'm a local resident. I stay across the street. My mom stays at Small Farms. I went to Bowman. Gave them that whole spiel just to let them know, like, I'm from the community. I love that there's a coffee shop here. I don't have to go to Highland or Hammond. It's right here on 25th in the land. And the owner never came out from the back of the kitchen. And I waited for like 15, 20 minutes. And I gave my number to, I guess, one of her business partners. And this was this brother that texted on the phone. I said, hey, man, I was talking to you too. Love the establishment. And so when I see my peers kind of like just wait as if that opportunity to come back and then I'll go out to somewhere out of our land and they accept the invitation, it rubs me the wrong way because some peers will feel like, well, I'm never come back to my community. And I won't let that happen to me because I'm going to go back to her probably today and look for it. Like, hey, I gave you a shout out.
I was going to say all that.
Yeah.
If there's anything I taught you is this. No is just the first round of negotiations.
Right.
What do you mean no? Okay, well, how do we get around that no that you just gave me?
And it's like, hey, sometimes that first opportunity is the last.
Right.
For
right.
some people. Not everybody gets
the
second.
Impression. Yeah. Right.
And so that's a reminder that was still heavy on my heart. I was talking to Chris about it, and I was like, man, I can't wait to talk to Jim D'Lo about it to see how can I navigate that when that happens again. Do you just go back or you just let it go?
No, rejection is just like so educational about yourself, about the whole situation. And
but sometimes people are not always I wouldn't say trained, but well-versed in that. You know, like, you think that you would want to help your coffee shop grow, you would want to do advertisement, all of that, but they just don't know.
Yeah, and that's fair, and that's why I was like...
just a face, right?
Yeah, like, especially when you're waiting like 20 minutes. I bought a coffee, too. Mm-hmm. It was very nice.
I'm going to have to go to this place. 25th and what?
Next to County Market, Popcorn World.
Oh, I'll buy popcorn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's very nice. The ambiance is nice.
It is. It's very
they
nice.
They have a lot of get-togethers. I have yet to been, but it's always crowded. And so I'm eager to look for the owner.
Because that's the problem. You know, we love to support, but the minute one person has a bad experience, oh, that's the end of
it. Yeah.
When we don't have enough people telling a good narrative.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there a few times, and I'm not always pleased, but I'm not going to knock her because I want her to succeed.
Absolutely. I think she comes from Indianapolis. Means
she's from Gary originally, but she had one in Indy, and I think she had two, but now Gary's our only location.
It's really nice. You should see the art in there.
I'm in, man.
Go check it out, and I'll return and let her know. I gave her a nice shout-out and a nice warm welcome. Vice versa. So.
Thank you for coming
in. Thank you for having
me. It's always sunshine. It's always sunshine when Kim comes in. I don't want to rub it into your face, but Karen Freeman Wilson in that chair 35 times at least.
I know.
All right.
I know.
So this will not be the last. Okay.
Great. Okay.
Appreciate
I'm gonna keep you,
Jim.
To that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yep.